This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. As we all understand, we are reading Surah Yusuf, and Surah Yusuf is, as per the text of the Quran, the best of all stories, Ahsan al-Qasas. And in this very masjid, I have given a very detailed tafsir of Surah Yusuf, over, I think, 20 hours long. We have an entire tafsir, ayah by ayah. So I'm not going to go over that. In today's short khatira, I will take one of the tangents of the surah. Obviously, the star of the surah is Yusuf alayhi salam, and the whole story revolves around him. In today's khatira, we're going to take one of the tangents. And that tangent is the story of the brothers of Yusuf. A story that is often overlooked, because obviously the main emphasis of the surah is Yusuf himself. But let us derive some benefits from the story of the brothers of Yusuf. Notice the brothers of Yusuf, their list of crimes and mistakes gets bigger and bigger. Look at what they are guilty of. From the very beginning of the surah, we know that their jealousy is so much in their hearts that even their father is worried about them. So their father, Ya'qub, says to Yusuf, don't tell your brothers about your vision, or else they will do something for you. So even the father who loves his children, he knows that these children, they have some good, no doubt, but they have an evil side as well. And even without Yusuf telling them the dream, what happens? That the 10 of them come together. Binyamin, Yusuf's actual blood brother through the mother as well, was too young. The 10 older ones, as you know, Yusuf and Binyamin were the two actual full brothers. The other 10 were stepbrothers. So the 10 of them came together, and even without telling them the dream, they already felt so jealous. And they came together and they wanted to plot and plan against their own brother. Uqtulu Yusuf. Let's kill Yusuf. What type of rage is this? What type of madness? What type of jealousy? And this is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us of. Iyyakum wal hasad. I warn you from jealousy. Be careful of jealousy. Look, blood brothers, and they're so blind in their jealousy that they're talking about killing their blood brother. Uqtulu Yusuf, or exile him to a foreign land. They're so angry, or they're so jealous, they cannot even see the evilness of their crimes. And one of them, and it is said he is the eldest of them, and he is the same one who remained in exile in Egypt, self-imposed exile. One of them said, look, if you're gonna do something, then at least throw him into a well. Don't kill him. Somebody's gonna come and take him away. At least it's not going to be murder. And so they decided to do this. And they then lied to their father. Blatant lie. And they said, let's go out on a picnic. You don't send Yusuf with us, send Yusuf with us. So they're lying to their fathers, straight into his face. And their father is worried. Nah, I'm confused. I don't know what to say. Maybe a wolf is going to eat him or something. The most flimsy of excuses, because the father doesn't want to say, I'm scared of you. So he says, I'm scared of the wolf. And by saying the wolf, he gave them the idea for the excuse. He gave them the idea for the excuse. And they promised him, no, he is our brother, we're going to take care of him. So notice, intent to murder, intent to kidnap, intent to sell into slavery, then lying to their father who happens to be a prophet. You're not just lying to a regular person, he is a prophet of Allah, and you're lying straight to him. So don't worry, we'll take care of him. Then they take him, and the books of tafsir give us very pitiful details that they taunted Yusuf, they poked him, they threw him in the well, he was trying to climb out and they kept on hitting him. He invoked them one by one, so and so, how could you do this, so and so, all 10 of them. And imagine how cold their hearts must have been. Wallahi, a stranger, if we were to do this to him, we couldn't have a heart. Imagine someone who is your blood brother, you are raised with him in the same household, you know how much your father loves him, yet they're doing this to him. And again, I'm building up to the point here at the end here. Look at all of these crimes, and they then abandon him. They don't even leave him like that. They take the shirt off his back so that he doesn't even have proper clothing in that dank and dark well. And the excuse of the father is used, false blood is put. So now they are tampering with evidence. They are falsifying evidence, and they bring it to their father, and they shed their crocodile tears. Imagine, wallahi, where is this coming from? Such hatred, such animosity, such jealousness is coming. And they go to their father and they're saying, "Oh, we're so sorry. We really wanted to protect him. We went out to play and lo and behold, the wolf that you were worried about happened to attack and took Yusuf. And here is his shirt to demonstrate for you." They had taken an animal, a rabbit or something, and spilled the blood on it. And they said, "Oh, this is the shirt." And of course, they had forgotten to tear the shirt. So how could the wolf eat Yusuf and the shirt is still intact? So Yaqub knew something is wrong, something is not right. So he said, "Allahul Musta'anu ala ma tasifun." And the story goes on that they then go into Egypt. And by the way, imagine the tension in that household. Imagine how difficult it would have been. Yaqub knows something is wrong, but all the children have agreed to lie. And they're all giving their oaths. Nothing happened. The story is as we said. But Yaqub can't get to the bottom of it. He doesn't understand. And the brothers have agreed to be quiet about this. The years go by, and Yusuf becomes the minister. Then the brothers re-enter. And Yusuf recognizes them. Binyamin is not with them because their father does not trust Binyamin. So the 10 enter in upon him. Yusuf recognizes them. How could they possibly recognize their 6-7-year-old brother, 8-year-old brother is now the minister of Egypt 20 years later? That thought didn't even cross their minds. It couldn't even have come to their minds that that brother that they abandoned is now the minister of Egypt. So Yusuf, through his conversation with them, happens to come across this information that, "Oh yes, we have one more brother." So he says, "Next time you come, you'd better bring him, or else I'm not going to deal with you. I'm the minister, these are my conditions. Bring the blood brother to me, bring your youngest brother to me." So they go back, they convince their father says, "No, you already did something to Yusuf, I don't know what it was, you did something. I'm not going to send his brother with you." They open the bags and they find their merchandise returned. Yusuf had returned their goods, their money, whatever it was, they had returned it back. So they said, "Look, the minister was so kind. We're not making a story up. We promise you," and Yaqub made them promise by Allah, that they would protect Binyamin. So they gave that promise. They went to Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salam, through a legitimate tactic, manages to keep Binyamin. And when the royal goblet is discovered in the bag of Binyamin, the other brothers immediately sell him off. Basically, they say, if he's a thief, his brother was also a thief before him. Subhanallah. Just to like disconnect that side of the family from their side. Meaning they accused Yusuf of being a thief, even though this was not a valid accusation. But they said, he is the younger brother of another thief. He had an older brother and he was a thief as well. Subhanallah, till this point in time, they're still trying to slander Yusuf and basically get their conscience cleared. Nonetheless, Binyamin remains, the eldest here feels guilty. And he says, "I can't go back and see my father. We already did something for Yusuf. Now we're going to have to explain Binyamin. I cannot see my father. Explain to him I have imposed exile on myself so that he knows we're not guilty of plotting for Yusuf." So they go back and Yaqub knows Binyamin is not a thief. Whatever happened, it's not that he stole. And he says, "I don't know, Allahul Musta'an." And in the meanwhile, he's gone blind. Now what is the purpose of all of this? The purpose is very simple. One of the goals of Ramadan is tawbah and repentance. One of the goals of Ramadan is to turn over a new leaf. One of the goals of Ramadan is to repent from previous sins and move on to a better lifestyle. In this tangent of the story of Yusuf, the tangent of the brothers, we gain so much hope, so much optimism. Because the brothers of Yusuf, what did they do? Attempted murder, actual kidnapping, selling their blood brother into slavery, lying about his honor, lying to their father, presenting false evidence to their father, hypocrisy in front of their fathers. Their list of crimes and sins goes on and on and on. And yet, what happens at the end of the story? When Yusuf reveals himself to his brothers, they say, "Qalu innaka la anta Yusuf? Is it really you? Is it really you, O Yusuf?" "Qala ana Yusuf wa hadha akhi." And he brings Binyamin. "I am indeed Yusuf, and this is my brother." And now we see their guilt has gotten the better of them. And their journey of repentance is coming to an end. And they acknowledge and they say, قالوا تالله لقد آثرك الله علينا وإن كنا لخاطئين. I swear by Allah, Allah has blessed you above us because we were the ones who made the mistake. We were the ones who were the criminals. We did the wrong. And this shows us that of the most important criterion for repentance is what? To feel guilty and to recognize the sin. I made a mistake. I messed up. So they admit to Yusuf their sin. And they ask his forgiveness. And Yusuf, of course, being the prophet that he was, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There is no blame at all today. Forget it. Let the past be the past. Let bygones be the bygone. Forget about it. Nobody will be criticized today. Take my shirt, go back to my father, and tell him to come and bring the children of Israel basically to Egypt. That will begin, of course, the journey of the Egyptians, of the Bani Israel in Egypt until the time of Musa. So, Ya'qub comes and when the children get back to Ya'qub, they also say to Ya'qub, now the brothers say to Ya'qub, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Oh, our father, you are the prophet, ask Allah to forgive us. Ask Allah to forgive us, we really messed up. So they ask Yusuf for forgiveness, they ask Allah for forgiveness, they ask their father to forgive them, and they ask their father to ask Allah to forgive them. And Yusuf forgives them, the father forgives them, and the father says, قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. I will ask Allah to forgive you, indeed He is Ghafoor, He is Rahim. So my dear brothers and sisters, think about what we learn from this beautiful tangent of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Imagine and visualize their crimes, their blood brother being thrown into the well, sold into slavery, kidnapped, lying, all of these things. And then compare that with my sins or your sins. Inshallah, nobody sitting here has sold their brother into slavery. Inshallah, nobody sitting here has plotted, premeditated to actually murder their brothers. Well, after they're a teenager, inshallah, I mean as an adult, right? Inshallah, nobody has thought to actually murder their... I say because I have two teenage sons, so when you're a teenager, inshallah, it's okay. But after you get to an adult age, inshallah, right? Nobody has done these heinous crimes. Whatever our crimes are, wallahi, think about, compare this. You throw your blood brother into a well, you sell him into slavery, and yet still, at the end of the story, how do they turn out? What does the dream say? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي رَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. I saw 11 stars. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. And the sun and the moon, they were prostrating to me. So no matter how low your beginning is, you can end up as a star. No matter how much in the gutter your thoughts might be, your actions might be. Because look at how filthy their actions were, literally. Literally in the gutter, in the well, literally. How did they end up? They literally ended up as stars. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. So, what is important, my dear brothers and sisters, is not what happened yesterday. It's not the sins you did last year. It's not the lifestyle you had 5, 10, 20 years ago. Wallahi, all of this can be eliminated because it's not as bad as what the brothers of Yusuf did. What is important is today your attitude. Tomorrow your plans and goals. What is important is the forgiveness, the acceptance of guilt. I made a mistake, I messed up. And then the resolve to be better, to do good, to turn over a new leaf. And that is the goal of this month of Ramadan as well. Dear brothers and sisters, we're still in the first week of Ramadan. We're still in the first week of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, the bulk of Ramadan is still left. Now is the time to perfect our repentance. Now is the time to perfect our tawbah, to make the resolve to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make sure that we take the example from the brothers of Yusuf, no matter what the past is. تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. There is no blame today. Allah will forgive you. Yusuf said this uncategorically, without any maybe he will, because Yusuf is the one they did ظلم to. And if Yusuf forgave them, and he knows they're repentant and they're guilty, he promised them, Allah will forgive them. يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah is غفور, Allah is رحيم, Allah is أرحم الراحمين. This is the month of rahmah, this is the month of tawbah. Let us repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to Him for forgiveness, and resolve to be better people so that we too insha'Allah ta'ala can aspire to be stars like the brothers of Yusuf. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.